We bend over backwards to accommodate, set aside, make provisions for handouts.
School officials must work directly with local emergency services providers to integrate this plan into communities' emergency response protocol.
The Wi-Fi can go out in a hurricane or thunderstorm. Battery dies.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com.
This is Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, Florida lawmakers are pursuing a host of bills to block DEI, or Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion programs. Tristan Wood reports several proposals could dismantle diversity efforts in local governments and state agencies.
This session, three significant anti-DEI bills are moving forward. One would ban local governments from adopting ordinances, programs, or spending money to promote preferential or differential treatment. Bill sponsor Jacksonville Republican Senator Clay Yarborough says that includes funding for Black History Month or Pride celebrations.
And so it doesn't prevent any of those celebrations from taking place. If they do take place and it is only in the vein of one or more of those descriptors that are in the bill, it cannot receive public funds. But it could still take place in the community even if it wasn't paid for by a local government if there was a question.
Miami Gardens Democratic Senator Chevron Jones views the legislation as an overreach from the state government.
This is us having food fights with what counties and cities are doing that we don't agree with, and we come to Tallahassee and we act as if we are kings and queens telling them what to do and telling them, here, you do what we say do. And if you don't, the governor gonna remove you. It's not democracy. We know what that is. It's authoritarianism.
Hollywood Democratic Senator Jason Pizzo says the bill would keep local governments from operating grant programs for minority or woman-owned businesses. He says that's hypocritical. In the same year, the Senate wants to support rural communities through its Rural Renaissance package.
We bend over backwards to accommodate, set aside, make provisions for handouts to fiscally constrained or economically underserved communities. They just happen to be predominantly white. And now we want to target those that are not.
Former Senate President Kathleen Pasadomo supported the bill in committee, but thinks changes need to come. She has concerns about how a part of the bill that talks about preferential versus deferential language could be interpreted.
If we provide differential treatment to a person based on sex, that could create a problem with a program that was intended for abused women, which nobody would want to get rid of. And so I think we need some work there, because the differential versus preferential is challenging.
Meanwhile, lawmakers are also talking about a bill that would block state agencies from creating DEI offices or hiring private contractors that have DEI practices. Another measure would make it so government employers and employees would not be required to use someone's preferred pronouns in the workplace. I'm Tristan Wood.
From holding down property taxes on homes rebuilt after hurricanes to new post-storm rules for election supervisors, the Florida House today started moving forward with a proposal to address issues whipped up during the damaging 2024 hurricane season. A House committee unanimously approved a wide-ranging bill that also seeks to look at shelter regulations and address debris cleanup in rural counties. Under the proposal, if an emergency is declared by the governor within 60 days of an election, county election supervisors could change locations of early voting sites, expand the early voting period to the day before an election, and request approval from the Secretary of State that early voting locations be used on Election Day. Representative Fiona McFarland says her bill is the product of conversations with many groups.
This feedback from homeowners, associations, from builders, from environmentalists, emergency managers, and all of that is boiled into this bill.
Under the bill, residents would be allowed to rebuild homesteaded property up to 130% larger than the pre-hurricane footprint without facing increases in their appraised property values. The proposal also calls for state agencies to work with local governments to streamline permitting to repair and rebuild damaged structures. The legislation needs to clear two more House panels before it could go to the full chamber. A bill focused on saving lives in Florida is gaining support in the state legislature. The proposal, entitled Cardiac Emergencies, would require all schools in Florida to have an external defibrillator on campus. Adrian Andrews has more.
The American Heart Association says last year more than 356,000 Americans experienced an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. Experts say the event can cause a person's heart to stop beating effectively, which can be life-threatening if left untreated. That's why Tiffany Henderson, a spokesperson for the American Heart Association, wants lawmakers to ensure defibrillators are readily accessible in Florida schools. She spoke in favor of the plan during a recent bill hearing.
The American Heart Association is in support of the bill as amended.
Tallahassee Republican Senator Corey Simon introduced the measure as a way he hopes will help keep school faculty and students safe.
This bill requires every public school to have a cardiac emergency response plan. School officials must work directly with local emergency services providers to integrate this plan into communities' emergency response protocol.
Under the measure, teachers, staff, and students at public and charter schools must undergo basic first aid, CPR, and defibrillator training. School districts will have 2 years from the time the law takes effect to have at least one registered AED on campus. With defibrillators costing on average $1,500, Hillsborough Republican Senator Danny Burgess, the bill's co-sponsor, says he and Simon are looking to the legislature for help with funding.
We are absolutely working on the budgetary part of this. No question there's a cost. I think that's why some of these issues haven't made it across the finish line in the past. Despite everybody's efforts.
The measure, if passed, would take effect this July. The move would be in addition to a law passed in 2023 requiring AEDs at school sporting events. I'm Adrian Andrews.
Finally tonight, if a person in Florida is required to wear an electronic monitoring device, tampering with that device could mean trouble. But as Margie Menzel reports, some lawmakers want to beef up the consequences.
The measure is intended to reinforce integrity in Florida's electronic monitoring system. Miami Republican Senator Ileana Garcia is behind the bill.
This bill enhances penalties for individuals who attempt to evade court-ordered supervision by unlawfully altering, removing, or damaging their monitoring devices. By ensuring stricter consequences, SB 1054 reinforces accountability and upholds the effectiveness of electronic monitoring as a tool for public safety and judicial oversight.
An electronic monitoring device, like an ankle monitor, notifies officials if a violation occurs, such as a person breaking curfew, going somewhere they're not supposed to be, or removing the device. Garcia says it's a lot for officials to keep up with.
I think that the bill comes about due to the huge responsibility that we have regarding oversight of 145,000 offenders. 130 probation offices have to monitor 145,000 offenders. And I think that what they want to do is sort of close the gaps in the legal framework and ensure stronger enforcement.
These offenders include people released from prison on parole or conditional release. They also include offenders placed on various types of court-ordered supervision, such as probation. Under the bill, if a person on pretrial release tampers with an electronic monitoring device, his or her pretrial release will be terminated. But Marcia Brana, speaking to the Senate Criminal Justice Committee, warned that the bill could have unintended consequences.
It is an added level of punishment. The Wi-Fi can go out in a hurricane or thunderstorm. Battery dies. If it works in a building like Goodwill, if someone works in the building like Goodwill, where a signal cannot get to the receiver, malfunction while walking in the rain, device is not waterproof.
The list goes on, Brana said. For instance, in an area with lots of metal, a signal can't reach the receiver.
Florida is already burdened with a $2.2 billion prison problem. Yet legislators want to create more laws with added level of sentencing that do nothing to deter crime, because most people will not know about this law, and that will not actually deter crime. So just please consider doing research and into the unintended consequences.
But Broward Democratic Senator Jason Pizzo, a prosecutor, supported the measure.
If somebody's arrested on a charge and one of the conditions to get out while awaiting trial is a monitoring device, like let's say an ankle monitor, or now they make like watches and everything. And if they violate that, then it revokes their bond. I'm okay with that.
The Senate Criminal Justice Committee passed the bill unanimously. The House Criminal Justice Subcommittee has approved a version of the bill, which is now in the House Judiciary Committee. I'm Marty Menzel.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol, and that show's also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.